Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After the motion was withdrawn at their last meeting, Council revisited Councillor Connie Glenn's proposal to establish child safety zones in Kingston. The original motion asked staff to recommend amendments to the city's parks bylaw and community standards bylaw to create child safety zones, also known as sensitive use zones, within 50 meters of playgrounds, schools, daycares, splash pads, and children's sports fields. These zones would prohibit temporary shelters, the possession or use of drug paraphernalia, and open-air drug use in those areas. That motion was pulled after fellow councillors raised concerns about the ability to enforce additional measures and legal risk, especially concerning whether such restrictions could conflict with existing court orders around sheltering in public spaces. Taking that feedback, Glenn brought the motion back, this time with a different direction for staff. The revised motion asked staff to return with a legal opinion outlining the risks and limitations of passing bylaws that prohibit high-risk activities, such as erecting shelter, using or displaying drug paraphernalia, or consuming illegal substances within defined child safety zones, possible measures to reduce those risks, including alternatives for addressing encampments in public spaces, and how much of these prohibitions are already covered or restricted by existing federal, provincial, or municipal law. With this, staff would also provide options for council, either bylaw amendments or other approaches that could improve protection from high-risk activities within child safety zones. Delegation spoke before council, offering perspectives both for and against the new direction. Kingston residents Kevin Smith and Melissa Reed said the following before council.
I have lived experience with homelessness and have seen this issue firsthand. I've walked through parks and public spaces and seen things no child or even adult should have to see. This motion represents balance, keeping our parks and playgrounds safe for children while also showing understanding towards those who are struggling. Kingston has the opportunity to set an example for other cities by doing both.
Where's the infrastructure? Where's the consultation? Where's the trauma-informed service hub that should have preceded this motion? We wouldn't want people in the city to think that we lacked creative imagination. And yet here we are, debating a motion with no solutions, no new solutions, no new infrastructure, and no new vision for the people that live here.
Glenn made her case, emphasizing balance and the need to prevent children's exposure to high-risk activities.
I'm hoping that what my colleagues will see is that I took to heart their concerns. So this motion right now is about coming back with opinions and options and about continuing this conversation. Because the rights of one group shouldn't outweigh the rights of another. We have an opportunity to start to stem the tide. We know that exposure at an early age to these things is something that triggers it. Public health is invested, and our entire community, for that matter, is invested in, you know, basically controlling adverse childhood exposures and impacts. And so through those programs, we're working on that. So I'd like to ask my colleagues to join me in helping to explore the options for continued conversation about how we can balance the rights of both children and the others in our community to make this a broader conversation about opioid and drug use, which isn't just in the homeless population, but amongst the entire population of Kingston, unfortunately, and how we can work together to ensure safety in playgrounds, which should be joyful, fun places for our children to grow, learn, and explore.
However, some councillors were still hesitant. Councillor Ryan Boehm voiced multiple concerns, particularly around rights, enforceability, and the risk of pitting vulnerable groups against one another.
We can have all these rules, but it's the enforcement aspect that we're always going to struggle with. So whether it's 15 meters, 50 meters, or 500 meters, the whole thing here is we're really ultimately, and this is where I really struggle with it, is we're pitting two vulnerable populations against each other. I have five kids. I definitely want them to be safe in parks. I want them to be able to play and not step on, you know, broken glass and stuff like that. But I also have to be cognizant that the people that are part of the other vulnerable population that we're talking about don't have the supports needed to break away from that life. So there's a whole systematic breakdown here. And I'm just not sure that we're approaching this the right way. I just don't know how you're going to apply this. Short of somebody doing open drug use in a park, which I'm pretty sure is already illegal. I just don't actually think this is actually really going to do anything at the end of the day. I think this is just, it's like a little bit of grandstanding where we say we're doing something, but are we actually really doing anything effective?
Others, like Councillors Brandon Tozzo and Gregory Ridge, argued that simply gathering information posed no harm, and that council needed clarity before making any decisions.
We're not going to solve a mental health and addiction issue around this horseshoe. The crisis of mental health and addictions, like I think we had staff do a budget of how much it would cost to solve it. I think it's somewhere in the ballpark of $500 million. We're going to move the dial a bit in one direction or a bit in another. And that's, I think, where what we can do. We can try to make our communities a bit better and a bit safer. More information is always better. If there's a legal opinion on anything further we can do, I have no problem going back to our legal team and getting that information and then making decisions based on that.
I think everybody wants children to be safe, and we're struggling with a number of pieces around enforcement and I get a lot of feedback from parents in my community about that, certainly. I am happy to support this motion simply because of the question that was raised by Councillor Baum about enforcement, right? So if we can get more clear legal opinions on what enforcement methods are available when they are necessary.
Mayor Brian Patterson introduced an amendment to the motion, expanding the scope to include other public spaces beyond those listed by Councillor Glenn.
So when we're asking for a legal opinion on the risks and limitations about, you know, creating these child safety zones, including within a specified distance of public playgrounds, schools, splash pads, and children's sports fields, I've just would propose that we also add the wording "and other public places." The reason for that is that the children don't just go to public playgrounds and they don't just go to schools and splash pads and sports fields. Children also walk down the sidewalk. Children also go downtown. Children also go to other public places along with adults. In fact, some of the biggest concerns that I have faced are not just what some families and kids have encountered in public parks, but also even just walking down the street. I had one father and daughter who came right into City Hall and talked about what they had seen happen just right out in the square behind this this building. So I think that I think we should look at it. Again, other cities have done this, so I don't think it's unreasonable to look at this approach. But I do think expanding just to add other public places, again, would just broaden the discussion just to say, should we be looking at any other places, public places as well?
This amendment was well supported by those already in favor of the motion, and councillors who had hesitated said this broadened the discussion and prevented the issue from targeting specific groups.
To me, this is just a consideration about getting as much information as possible and seeing what more can be done. This doesn't necessarily, to me, show that we're planning on moving forward with any plan of action. But what Councillor Baum did say earlier about the enforcement piece, I think this gives it a broader scope and it allows councillors to have additional information.
I actually can support this amendment, and I think it actually increases the scope of this to just create a safe city for all and doesn't pit people against each other. If it's safe for children to be kind of everywhere, well, then by virtue of that, it's safe for all of us to be there. So with this amendment, I could support the original motion. So I do hope that it passes. I think it actually broadens the discussion and really doesn't pit one vulnerable group against another the way the previous, without this amendment, the motion can kind of be sort of contrived.
Glenn accepted the amendment while clarifying that her goal was still to focus specifically on providing additional protections for youth.
So I'll let it go through if people are going to support it, because we are not at the point of making a decision about what we're doing. I do want to increase safety throughout the community, But so many of the other things that we need to do to improve safety are around mental health, addiction supports, housing, all of those things. But right now, I think our children deserve a little extra protection, which is why there was specific wording.
With the amendment, the motion carried with a vote of 12-1, with Councillor Shaves being the sole vote opposed.
So I'm hoping that we will see some options and opportunities to improve the situation for children and youth, and to make sure that they move ahead unburdened by addiction issues, that they get the supports they need. And I know that we will all continue to advocate for the mental health and addiction supports that the rest of the vulnerable community needs. And hopefully we will see both national and provincial responses. I think they're dearly needed. We're all struggling with this issue. But I'm grateful that what we're going to be doing is responding to the concerns of our community in a thoughtful and legitimate way, letting them know that we are trying to find a way forward. It is not easy, and this is not about trying to polarize the community. It is about saying, what else can we do with the powers that we do have available to us?
Staff will analyze these spaces both in their totality and individually and return to council with a legal opinion and options for moving forward. At their last meeting, council unanimously approved a motion focused on making Kingston a more business-friendly city. In response to input from the local business community and his experience as a small business owner, Councillor Jimmy Hassan introduced the motion aimed at preventing costly delays and making it easier for new and existing businesses to navigate municipal requirements. The motion directs staff to find ways to streamline licensing and approval processes and improve coordination between departments like building and fire services.
The city of Kingston is struggling to become the most business-friendly city. It's unnecessary delay sometimes is a financial burden and is personal stress for the investors, especially from the small business owners. As a small business owner, I understand the complication of extra the financial burden on the business. And unnecessary delay is also become a financial burden on them. And I hope that council will support this and we will see the report how we can make our city, the process for the building and the licensing more people's friendly and business friendly so we can attract more investment to our city.
The motion notes that global economic challenges, including tariffs and other pressures, continue to affect local businesses. Councillor Gregory Ridge, who seconded the motion, said this review is an important opportunity to look at how the city can play its part in supporting Kingston's business community.
This is a very important opportunity that we need to take to revisit and look at process, and especially with our current economic environment, to see what we can do to support small business owners, medium-sized business owners, and reduce administrative burden where we can, when possible. And so I hope that everyone is in support of this motion. Again, not people, process.
The motion received unanimous support from fellow councillors. Councillor Vincent Chinnani said he hears about these obstacles frequently from his constituents.
I've had multiple people approach me about a lot of these issues and obstacles that they've encountered trying to open their business or expand their business or even change their business, even a slight way. I've had one who came to me and then they were told one thing and then they opened their business and then they tried to verify. And then all of a sudden, all these other things happen. And then they have to, okay, now you have to pay for this. And then they're no longer in compliance. And then they have to pay a fee, like a fine. But they tried to do it the right way by trying to, start. And I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, but streamlining processes, making the process better and smoother would really go a long way. This is something that I've heard a lot about and concerns, or even the people are confused. They're not sure what they need to do but hopefully I've got a lot of good hope on this, that it'll actually make things better and smoother for people wanting to do great things in our community. We want to be welcoming. And I keep hearing from people saying, it's a lot easier to do things in Napanee. They're a lot more welcoming, So I want that for us also, So
Under the motion, staff will review licensing and approval processes and report back to council with an information report in the first quarter of 2026, detailing the findings, recommended improvements, and any changes already underway. This work will be in partnership with Kingston Economic Development, the Chamber of Commerce, Tourism Kingston, and other partners. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris, and good afternoon. This is Henry Walker bringing you your Queen's Campus Beat, campus and community news on CFRC 101.9. Kingston City Council has approved the creation of several special constable positions under Ontario's Community Safety and Policing Act. The initiative is designed to enhance community safety by allowing these officers to handle certain enforcement duties that do not require a fully sworn-in police officer. The move follows months of discussion about how to best address safety and quality of life issues in areas with high student populations, such as the University District. City staff say the program will help improve response times and free police resources for more serious calls. Some student leaders, however, at Queen's have expressed concern about how the program was developed, suggesting there was limited consultation with students living in the community district. They've called for clearer communication about the responsibilities and oversight of the new officers once the program is implemented in early 2026. Municipal officials have indicated they will continue outreach with Queen's University and neighborhood associations as the framework takes shape. After starting last January, a year-long arts initiative at Queen's University is about to come to a close this December, but is continuing to invite campus and Kingston community members to imagine possible futures through creativity. The Queen's Imagines the Future Festival, coordinated by the Faculty of Education, features artwork, performances, and multimedia projects focused on climate change, sustainability, and hope. Students, faculty, and staff are all contributing pieces that range from poetry and sculpture to film and dance. Organizers say the goal is to engage the public in conversations about how art can inspire collective responses to environmental and social challenges. Many events are open to Kingston residents, reinforcing the community's and university's ongoing collaboration. More information is available on the Faculty of Education's website under Imagines the Future Festival. Over the past couple of days, the city of Kingston, surrounding region, and Queen's campus have been hit with their first proper snowfall. Although this early snow has been bringing community members outside for brisk walks and photo ops, it's important to remember that with this colder winter weather comes riskier and longer commutes. Early snowfall is not unusual for Kingston, with winter weather changing quite quickly, and it also remains important to stay informed about the weather, to dress appropriately for it, and to plan for delays in your commute. This has been Henry bringing you your Queen's Campus Beat here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, November 10th, daytime high of zero, so at the freezing point, with a 67% chance of snow. That's right, snow here in early November. 1 to possibly 3 centimeters worth of accumulation overnight. Tuesday, November 11th, Remembrance Day, daytime high of 2 degrees, breezy and cool with a mix of sun and cloud dropping down to zero overnight. Wednesday, November 12th, daytime high of 5, 80% chance of precipitation. We've got rain throughout the morning, clearing up and becoming cloudy in the afternoon. Thursday, November 13th, daytime high of 7 degrees with a little wet snow in the forecast, but we're talking less than a millimeter or so. It's going to feel closer to 2 degrees, very chilly, very breezy day here in the city of Kingston. Friday, November 14th, we're going to have the holdover from that Thursday squall, some trace amounts of freezing rain, once again, less than 1 millimeter in terms of accumulation, and that'll be in the morning before warming up a little bit and clearing into the afternoon. Saturday, November 15th, daytime high of 3 degrees, mix of sun and cloud. Sunday, November 16th, daytime high of 5 degrees with a 70% chance of precipitation in the forecast, dropping down to 1 overnight. And then starting off next week, Monday, November 17th, daytime high of 5, a mostly cloudy day here in the city of Kingston. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Reminder that the LaSalle Causeway will be closed on November 16th from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., so that's closed for all vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians to allow for temporary opening of the main marine navigation channel. Please be advised of the following road closures for the Remembrance Day ceremonies. Bagot Street, Barry 2 West, 10 to 11 a.m. Barry Street, King to Stewart, 10:20 a.m. to 12 p.m. King Street, Barry 2 West, 10:20 a.m. to 12 p.m. King Street, Lower University to Barry, 8:15 a.m. to 12 p.m. And Ontario Street, Barry to West, 11 a.m. to 12:45 p.m. Here are some relevant road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed for construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed for construction activity and staging at 484 Albert. Barry Street, Queen to Colborne closed for construction activity at 283 Queen. Earl Street, Collingwood 2 Toronto, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. King Street, Tragically Hip Way to Place d'Armes, closed November 12th at 8 p.m. to November 14th at 8 a.m. for event-related parking and storage at Slush Puppy Place. Kings Court Avenue, Concession 2 First, closed until November 21st for gas main installation by Utilities Kingston. Raglan Road, Division Domain, closed until November 30th from 7:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. each day for a gas main installation. Toronto Street, Durham to Park, closed until November 28th for installation of new water, sanitary, and storm services. And Victoria Street, Union 2 Johnson, is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work.
This is Christina coming back in with your concerts and events calendars for this week. Tonight on Monday, November 10th, Mustache Trivia is on at the Toucan at 7 p.m. and Something in the Water Host Trivia at 8 p.m. There's also comedy tonight as Henry Sir and Friends hit the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. For live music, Inner Harbor Jazz plays the RCHA at 4:30 p.m. and Jonathan Jones performs at the Coven at 5 p.m. On Tuesday, November 11th, the Kingston Public Market runs at Springer Market Square from 8:30 to 5. For music, Tom's Tuesday Happy Hour Jam starts at 4 at the RCHA. Tim Lowton plays the Coven at 5, and there's open mic at Jersey's at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, November 12th, Board Games Night happens at Something in the Water at 8 p.m. It's a big karaoke night, Jersey's at 7 p.m., Timeout Bar at 8 p.m., and The Mansion at 9 p.m. At the Kingston Grand, the Debaters Comedy Show takes the stage at 7:30 p.m., alongside I Take Your Hand in Mine, also at 7:30. Concert picks include Billy Raful, Anna Graves, and Lake Porter at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m., and Ayun Huang and Mark Feuer at the Isabel, also at 7:30. On Thursday, November 13th, CFRC is hosting Fun and Games Night at Minotaur at 7 p.m., so be sure to come say hi. It's a busy night for trivia, Riverhead at 7 p.m., Grad Club at 8 p.m., and Queen's Pub at 9 p.m. Drag Bingo at Daft Brewing starts at 7 p.m., and I Take Your Hand in Mine continues at the Kingston Grand at 7:30 p.m. as well. For concert highlights, Abigail LaPelle plays at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m., Boys Night Out at the Mansion at 7:30, and Johnson Street with Wygo at the Toucan at 9:30 p.m. On Friday, November 14th, I Take Your Hand in Mine plays again at 7:30 p.m. at the Kingston Grand. Karaoke takes over the buckle at 9 p.m. On the concert side, Steve Strongman and the Kim Pollard Band hit Kingston Grand at 7:30 p.m. Hoxley Workman plays the Broom Factory at 7 p.m., and Samantha Martin and Delta Sugar perform at the Cove at 7 p.m. On Saturday, November 15th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Holiday events kick off, including the Holiday Bazaar at Kingston Secondary School from 10 to 3 and the South Alley Holiday Market in Gananoque from 3 to 8. Plus, one-day choir at Artillery Park at 5:30 p.m. and two showings of I Take Your Hand in Mine at 2 and 5:30. Big shows on Saturday night include Rhea May at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. and Rock for Ryandale at the Spire at 7:30 p.m. On Sunday, November 16th, to finish off the week, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 to 1. At the Kingston Grand, Igniting the Imagination begins at 10:30, followed by Billy Goat's Gruff and Other Tales at 3:30. For concert highlights, Rhea May returns to the Broom Factory at 2:30, Lady and the Lads perform at Time Out at 4, and Eric and Megan play the Coven at 5 p.m. As always, you can find even more concerts and events on our website's events and concerts calendar at cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.